This is the Travers Special Preview Show, presented by America's Best Racing. Now here's Anita Marks.
Welcome in. A special day, especially here in our own backyard, a few miles north of here. It is Saratoga Saturday, and it is the Travers. As we know, August, a huge month up north, and it all ends up, it all comes down to this unbelievable day, and there are, count them, there are 13 races, and six of them are grade one stakes races. So for the first hour on the show with me and you today, Travers special from America's Best Racing. And then at 1 o'clock, we switch gears. Regular show, Anita Marks with you. Rich Cimini is going to join me at 1:30. We'll dive into the Jets and the Eagles game. We'll take a look at what's to come the next week plus as the Jets get ready for the regular season game one against Carolina. We'll dive into what's going on with the Giants. As we know, they take on the Patriots tomorrow. Their starters expected to play at least a half, if not more. And I'm with you until 3 o'clock this afternoon. We'll talk Yankees. We'll talk Mets. But this is a special hour getting you ready for the Travers. And Dan Torgman, who's a part of America's Best Racing, joins me. He will be with me for the next hour. Tom Law, who's the editor of the Saratoga Special, is going to be joining us on the show as well. We'll open up the phone lines, 800-919-3776. Maybe you are on your way to Saratoga right now. Maybe you are just as enthusiastic as I am in regard to the races today. Like I said, we've got six grade one stakes races, which is unbelievable. So let's bring in Dan. Dan, welcome in. How you doing? You are there. You are at Saratoga. Let us live vicariously through you. What's the energy like there today?
Well, you might not have any choice but to live vicariously through me, because at some point here, you're going to hear the speakers around the track as some of the earlier races are going on right now. We're actually in the backyard, so you may hear some people cracking open some drinks and, enjoying themselves, because the festivities have already begun here on Travers Stakes Day.
So we're about 4 minutes away from race two, but things get really good around race seven. Race seven all the way through race 12. The 12th race, of course, is the Travers grade one stakes, a lot of action. And we're going to dive into all those races, race seven through 12. We'll give you some winners, but let's spend the start of the show really breaking down the Travers and the horses that will be featured in this small, but very, very exciting and talented group of horses. And so, typically I know this is the third time that we're doing a special here on 98.7 ESPN. I want to talk about Essential Quality. I know Equality is the two horse. It pulled the two post, but everyone that I've spoken to says this horse is a beast. It's Essential Quality's race to lose. He checks all the boxes. Do you agree with that? Let's start first and foremost with Essential Quality. Break him down for us.
Yeah, look, I think 9 times out of 10, you could give every other horse in this field a head start on Essential Quality, and he'd win this race. The post doesn't matter. He's proven time and time again, winner of 7 of 8 races, that he is the best horse in this 3-year-old crop. Of course, the 3-year-olds, we see them in the spring. We see them in the Kentucky Derby on the Triple Crown Trail. As we get to the summer, this is the Midsummer Derby. The Travers is the target for all of the horses who maybe, who either did well or maybe who didn't do so well on the Triple Crown Trail. This is redemption for some of them. With Essential Quality, he's done nothing wrong. I mean, his only blemish is a fourth-place finish in the Kentucky Derby, in which he was he was out wide. He ended up losing a ton of ground, and ultimately his trip circumstances within the race dictated that, he lost that race, and he only lost it by a length. And so was close up there, has shown up every time in the Jim Dandy, his most recent start. He also covered a lot more ground than all the other horses in the race, including Keep Me In Mind, who's back in this race. Masked Parade is another horse who's in this race, covered more ground, worked a lot harder than both of them, and he still won the race. And the word was, logically, before that race, they didn't have him fully cranked up and ready to go for that race because they wanted to win this race, the Travers. So that was, if you got 80%, 75% from Essential Quality that day, it was good enough. Today is the day we expect to get the 100% effort out of Essential Quality, so that should be pretty scary.
So pretty much you're comparing him, I guess the analogy is Brooks Koepka, right? Like, regular, right? Like regular season golf. Brooks Koepka kind of used those tournaments, and don't get me wrong, not that obviously a horse and Brooks Koepka want to win, but really it comes to the majors, and that's when Brooks really keys in on his game, and that's what really matters most. So pretty much what you're saying is the Travers is like a major in horse racing. It's really what we're saying.
That's exactly
right. Right.
Yep,
okay.
I
thought so.
Yep.
All right. Now here's something else. And again, I talked about this on our show, Saratoga Saturdays earlier today. And that is, I've been very fortunate living here in the Northeast as long as I have, that I have become quite friendly. Ron Lombardi, big friend of our show. I'm a big fan of his and Amaury Stables, which Frenzy Fire, by the way, is going to be racing today as well in Saratoga. And, so Rob Masiolo, who we both know, I've texted a number of people who I have immense respect for that I know they know this sport better than most. And everybody loves Dynamic One, the four horse. A lot of people feel that if there's a horse in this race that can upset Essential Quality, it's Dynamic One. What are you hearing? What can you tell us about this four horse?
So Dynamic One is a horse that has always been pretty highly touted. He was purchased for $725,000. He's trained by Todd Fletcher, who's one of the best trainers in the country. He's owned in partnership by Mike Rapoli. And the Fifth Stable and St. Elias Stables, always big names in the horse racing world, and obviously always show up on the big days with really good horses. Dynamic One won the Curling Stakes last out, which is one of those setup races. Again, we talked about how these horses are campaigned up to a certain major, right, a certain big race. But this being the target, they said, let's see what this horse has. And so coming out of the Derby, he hadn't raced in about 2 months. And they were like, you know what? He was disappointing there. Let's see what he could show in the Curling. They bring him back in the Curling, and he runs a spectacular race from off the pace. He sweeps by the entire field. He was last place early and midway through the race and swept past the entire field and blew past them. Now, he also, one of the horses he passed in the stretch was a horse named Miles D. Miles D is the five horse here in the Travers, so drawn just outside a Dynamic One. To my mind and my thinking, if you like Dynamic One, I think you should like Miles D. Dynamic One is 6-1. Miles D is 12-1 on the morning line. For Dynamic One, that was his 7th race last out and his 2nd win and his 1st stakes win. With Miles D, that last race, the Curling, he finished 2nd there. And you could argue that his jockey maybe potentially moved him a little bit too early, and so maybe he got a little leg weary late. It was also his first time running a race around 2 turns, going a route of ground. This distance, sometimes it takes a race for a horse to really get used to that, and they often improve their 2nd time going 2 turns. This is only his 4th career race, 2nd time 2 turns. I think Miles D is going to be a bigger price, and I think if you like Dynamic One, Miles D is one that you should also take a look at. I will also tell you, race 2 here at Saratoga is about to go off, so you may hear some noise around me, so I'll apologize in advance.
That's okay. Jack Christopher, by the way, the 5 horse, that's who I've got my money on right now to win in that 2 race. Dan Torgman joining me right now on 98.7 ESPN, our special Saratoga big day today, the Travers, and we're breaking it down. Let's talk about the 1 horse, Midnight Bourbon. This is another horse that many out there like. What do you like this horse? What do you see happening? How do you think this horse is going to play into this race today?
Midnight Bourbon's a very interesting horse. He has won 2 races, and the way he's won those 2 races was by going to the lead and staying there. In recent races, he's faced pressure up front. He hasn't been able to get the lead. There have been faster horses in the race. In the Derby, Medina Spirit got to the lead. He didn't break well. Most recently in the Haskell, he was battling it out early with a horse named Following C. And so what happened was he didn't get to run his preferred style of race. He actually was involved in a still in that race in the Haskell. So he's a horse, he's breaking. By the way, Jack Christopher is pulling away with ease. So congratulations on your win here in the 2nd race. so congrats. You'll hear some cheers around me now.
Well, you are obviously about 10 to 15 seconds before my video, what I'm watching. So,
well, sorry to ruin it for you, but at least it was good news, right?
You didn't ruin anything. Winner, winner, chicken dinner. Mama's got a new pair of shoes on Monday. Anyway,
So Midnight Bourbon, look, I want to say this on Midnight Bourbon. I think if he gets away from the gate cleanly, this is a race where he doesn't have that same crazy fast horse in the race to potentially give him trouble. I think he could sneak away early, and if he sneaks away early and they could settle things down up front, he's got a new rider today, Ricardo Santana Jr., I would not at all be surprised if Midnight Bourbon pulls an upset. And I think he's really one of the few horses who you can actually envision beating Essential Quality, and the only way it happens is if Essential Quality lets it get stuck behind horses, or you know, they let Midnight Bourbon get away to such a loose and easy lead that Midnight Bourbon just steals the race. So he's sneaky in that sense.
One last horse I do want to mention, and that is the sixth horse.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Masked Parade.
There you go.
Yeah. So Masked Parade is an interesting horse. A couple of races back, won in the Ohio Derby, which is kind of a lower level stakes race, if you could say that. It's just not of the caliber of horses that he's going to be facing here today at Saratoga. He did beat King Fury, who's in this race, who's in the Traverse. He also beat Keep Me in Mind, who Essential Quality beat last out in the Jim Dandy. So he's a horse who has basically stepped up his game in recent races. They put him into tougher races. And while he won the Ohio Derby, he came back in the Jim Dandy and had every chance to win that race, turning for home. He got a great setup, a great trip, as we call it. Was primed to just kick away if he was good enough and win that race. But instead, he just got passed by Keep Me in Mind and Essential Quality. Even with everything Essential Quality had gone through in that race, covering more ground, Essential Quality pretty easily went past him. And he was beaten by almost three lengths. So he was beaten by a decent margin. He would have to step up dramatically, I think. And the thing that I don't love for him is that he's going to have to go pretty fast early if he wants to keep up with Midnight Bourbon. And that's his style. He likes being close up. So I think he may have to use a little bit too much early. And I'm not sure going the added distance here, a mile and a quarter, if that's going to benefit him, especially knowing horses like Essential Quality are going to be coming from off the pace. So I don't know. I'm a little lukewarm on him, but he certainly has his supporters.
Before we take a break and bring Tom Law on from the Saratoga Special, final thoughts on the 3-horse, Keep Me in Mind, as well as the 7-horse, King Fury. And that rounds out the crew that will race in the Travers.
Yeah, Keep Me in Mind was my Preakness horse. I loved him all year long. He just comes up short every time, and I'm not convinced that he wants more distance either. He had a perfect setup in the Jim Dandy, yet Essential Quality still beat him again on a day when Essential Quality wasn't 100% his best, fully cranked up. So if he couldn't beat Essential Quality that day, I don't know how he beats Essential Quality today. And then King Fury is one who's interesting. It's a horse that they tried on the turf, so they put him in a grass race last out. That didn't work. But in his prior dirt races, he was improving race to race on the dirt. I think if the pace does get hot, let's say if Midnight Bourbon goes to the lead and Masked Parade is with him and they're going real fast and Essential Quality's close up and they, you know, they're really knocking heads up front, if you're thinking about the horses that might come from off the pace and at least maybe finish second or third if you're playing the exactas or trifectas, King Fury, I think, is a logical play underneath. Is he good enough to get up and win and pass horses like Essential Quality? I'm not sure of that.
All right. Before we go to break, I want to remind you, ABR, America's Best Racing, has a great app. It's called the Stay Lucky app. Looking to cash some tickets on the ponies today? Look no further than americasbestracing.net. You'll find expert analysis on today's Midsummer Derby at Saratoga, the Traverse Stakes, all the above. There's a bunch of other races on tap this afternoon as well, so get the inside scoop. Head over to America's Best Racing at americasbestracing.net and make today a winning day, along with downloading that Stay Lucky app. You can play the races for free, and an opportunity, especially if you go on a streak, you pick the winners, you can win up to $1 million. Again, it's the Stay Lucky app from ABR, America's Best Racing. Quick break. We come back. Tom Law, managing editor of the Saratoga Special, joins us. We're gonna do a deep dive. Again, 6 grade 1 races, starting with race number 7. We'll go through 7 through 12 in the next 30 minutes. And of course, at the end of the show, we will share with you who Dan, as well as Tom, as well as I do, who we feel is going to win the Travers. So stay tuned. This is a Travers special hour brought to you by ABR right here on 98.7 ESPN.
This is the Travers Special Preview Show presented by America's Best Racing. Now here's Anita Marks.
Without further ado, of course, Dan Torgman with you, with me for the entire hour. And Tom Law joins us now, managing editor of the Saratoga Special. Tom, welcome in. Pleasure to have you on the show. Thank you.
Great to be here. Thanks for having me, guys.
Before we dive into the Grade One stakes races, and we're gonna start with Race Seven, Tom. I just realized we're at Race Three right now, and Trini Luck has been scratched, the five horse, which I know a lot of people really loved. With that being said, do you have since the five horse has been scratched, is there another horse that you like in Race Three?
Yeah, sure. Trini Luck was a horse that was entered main track only, so I was kind of hoping. You know, the forecast has been crazy up here at Saratoga all the time, so you always got to pick those main track only horses just in case. I think Love and Thunder, the eight horse, is probably the horse to beat in here. Not giving away anything earth shattering there, but I do think Windfall Profit is a horse that probably might be able to get a piece at a nice price, 12-1 on the line. I don't have the odds board in front of me right now, but it's a Shug McGahee filly that ran kind of a hidden, sneaky good race last time. Made the lead a little too early last time and got tired late. Look for her to run better here.
Fantastic, fantastic. All right, Tom and Dan with us. Let's kick off race number seven, the Ballerina race scheduled. Post time is at 3:02. And Dan, let's start with you. Give me the horses that you're eyeing. How are you going to play this race?
So, you know, I think Tom can attest to, the star here is Gamine. And, she's a horse who has run nine times in her career, has won eight of them. Last time she raced off a short break, she won by 10 lengths. And that's what she does. She usually goes to the lead, opens up a big lead, and then just kicks away and wins for fun. She's the target, and it's going to be tough for any of these to keep up with her early because she's just too fast. But if we're looking for value, go ahead, Tom. Sorry.
Tom, you there?
All right.
Yeah, I'm here. Sorry. Sorry, guys. You got me?
That's okay.
Gotcha,
yeah, we got
gotcha.
You.
Yes,
your thoughts on Gamine. Your thoughts on Gamine.
Yeah, Gamine, she's the horse to beat, but if you're really trying to kind of get your day started with a little bit of a price, maybe take a stand against her. I mean, there's a lot going against her and a lot of bad vibes in the Bob Baffert barn, especially coming into New York. He's shifting horses here so far that just haven't really delivered. Obviously nothing of the caliber of Gamine, but, you got a horse on the outside in CC, number seven. She's a Grade One winner around two turns. She's shortened up. She runs good at one turn. I also think number five, Sconson, is a filly, kind of like Bell's the one who won a race here earlier in the meet. Kind of a nice, good Kentucky shipper with some potential. And number two, Lake Avenue, ran a really good race last time to Bell's the one. Just about won the race. I think if Bell's the one was in this race, she'd really give Gamine a good run. So Lake Avenue was just right behind her, and she's going to be a pretty good price. But, Gamine, she won here last year. That makes her tough. She hasn't lost yet this year. Obviously, she's 8-9 lifetime. We're not giving anything secretive there. But, maybe dabble a little bit and take a stand against her and try to make a little bit of money early.
Dan, thoughts on how you would play race seven?
Yeah, so, look, I'm also, I think I have a hard time envisioning Gamine not finishing first or second. So I'm going to try to pair her up with another horse maybe in an exact And a horse that I like is one that Tom didn't mention, surprisingly, since we're, I like to think that we're always on the same wavelength. The six, Estilo Talentoso. This is a horse who, even though she's only won once in eight tries at the seven furlong distance, she's finished second in six of those eight starts. And I just started watching her replays the other day. Especially her recent races, I think she's in good form, and I think it's kind of muddied up a little bit by some of those results, where if you watch those races, you can see she's had excuses. She doesn't always get away that well. In her most recent race, she got forced into an earlier and wide move than would have been ideal. And she was beaten in that race by Cece, who I think is going to be a much shorter price. But Cece had a great trip in that race, and I really think everything kind of worked out for her that day and not for Estilo Talentoso. So I think if things work out a little better for the six horse today, I would not at all be surprised if at the very least you saw her pick up some pieces and maybe finish second at 12-1 or 15-1. She's listed at 8-1. I feel like she's super under the radar, so I think you might even get a bigger price than that. And then who knows? If Gamine just has an off day, if she happens to take some pressure, maybe from a horse like Truth Hurts or maybe Lake Avenue goes a little bit early, then maybe sets up for a big shocker in Estilo Talentoso. But I'm with Tom, too. Cece is a super logical horse to use. So I think for me, it's going to be probably exacta, the straight exacta, 1-6, Gamine to Estilo Talentoso. But I'll probably also do a smaller exacta involving CC as well.
All right, let's take a look at the eighth race, the Forgo, scheduled post time 3:37. This is pretty much the most wide open race, I believe, in all the Grade One races that we're going to see today. And so, Tom, I'm really good friends with Ron Lombardi from Mr. Mori Stables, so there's a very special place in my heart for Firenze Fire. Let's start with you. Who do you like in this race?
Well, the horse you mentioned, Firenze Fire, he should have a special place in a lot of people's heart. I mean, he's a six-year-old. He's run 35 times. He's won 14 races. Admirable, you know, not a gelding either. So he's one to watch. I mean, he's only one for eight at Saratoga. Doesn't seem to really deliver in spots here at Saratoga. So I took a little bit of a stand against him. The seven horse is Yaupan. He's the favorite. He's kind of a logical horse that everybody seems to be gravitating toward and everyone seems to like. I actually threw him out completely. You know, his biggest win was in the Chick Lang. I mean, he won the Amsterdam last year over a horse named Basin, who was a better two-year-old than he was three-year-old. And really his only really good race on his form is the Chick Lang at Pimlico in the first week of October. I'm not exactly sure Double Crown, Relentless Dancer, the horses that he's run against, are all that good. And he's being asked another question here today, going against better horses at 7 furlongs. So he's never run 7 furlongs before. So I leaned more towards horses that are proven commodities at both a distance and a little bit more older and seasoned. So the two that I like are Mind Control for Todd Pletcher. He won the John Nehru last time at 7. He's coming back at 7. He's won 2 Grade One races at Saratoga at 7 furlongs. Great spacing. You know, hasn't run since the 4th of July. Very nice horse. And then I also like Whitmore, number 2. He's, you know, he runs his race every time. I mean, he's kind of a fan favorite horse. I'll make no bones about it. He's one of my favorite horses of all time just because he's cool. He's an 8-year-old. He runs his race every time. He hasn't won yet this year. 0-4, so his connections. I talked to trainer Ron Moquette yesterday. You know, he's a little worried that maybe that race was so good last time off the layoff that hopefully he doesn't take a step back. He's hoping that that race helps him take a step forward. So I do think if he takes a step forward, he still needs to get past Lexingtonian, who beat him last time. But Lexingtonian's like, you're better off not playing him. He was 34-1 last time. If he's 5-1 in here, I mean, like, you missed the wedding. Don't go to the funeral with him. You know, so Mind Control, a little bit more of a proven commodity. And that all that saying, you know, taking that stand against Yaupan, which is, you know, a big step. I didn't take a total stand against Gamine, but I will take a stand against Yaupan.
Dan, briefly, your thoughts on race 8.
Yeah, you know, I knew it was only a matter of time before Tom and I were completely aligned. I'm on Mind Control. I'm with him for all the reasons he laid out. And also, if you look at his bad races, the races where he hasn't run well, it's been over a wet track. I mean, that's pretty much been his kryptonite, rain. And so, fortunately, you know, for Mind Control, you know, completely dry track here. You know, it'll be fast. It'll be to his liking. And Tom's point, has run really well at Saratoga, winning 2 really big races here at 7 furlongs. So, no question. I think Mind Control is the big danger. I may have a little bit of fun with a little bit of a long shot here, or actually the longest shot. That's the 6-horse Chances, 20-1 on the morning line. It's a horse who missed a considerable amount of time from early 2020 until this past May. He's finished second in both starts back, including his first graded stakes try last out. And in that race, he had some trouble. He was a little wide into the stretch, and that kind of slowed down his momentum. He looked like he was primed to get up in that race, but he went wide and then was just a little awkward. But then he kind of picked it up late and really finished up nicely. I loved what I saw visually there. And so I think that combined with the fact that he reunites here with Tyler Gaffalione, who won the opening race today at 11-1. Tyler, always solid, always a clutch ride. He won the Mucho Macho Man with Chancet last year. And so they reunite here. A lot of positive signs. And again, visually, I like what I saw. So if I get 30-1, I may play around a little bit, some win place money, and then I'll mess around with some exactas, including Mind Control.
Love it. And also keep in mind, you know, in a lot of experts, a lot of professional handicappers I'm talking to, they're playing a lot of pick four, pick five, pick sixes today. And we're giving them out. There's only one way as well to risk nothing and have a shot at winning $1 million. Download the Stay Lucky app from America's Best Racing and start playing the races today for free. Build a streak with winning horses and you'll start racking up the prizes. Your goal, to win the grand prize of $1 million. So what are you waiting for? Download the Stay Lucky app from America's Best Racing and get into the game. We return. This is our special Travelers Edition hour from America's Best Racing. We will break down races 9, 10, 11, and then getting ready for the Travers.
This is the Travers Special Preview Show, presented by America's Best Racing. Now, here's Anita Marks.
That's right. Welcome back. Getting you ready for the Travers later on this afternoon, but also, again, six grade one races. We just went through 7 and 8. We've got Dan Torgman and Tom Law on with us. Guys, let's rip through races 9 through 11, and race 9, you know, two horses here that everybody's talking about, and that's Jackie's Warrior and Life Is Good. Tom, let's start with you. Who do you like in this race?
Well, I like Jackie's Warrior. He impressed trainer Steve Asmussen, who obviously is a Hall of Fame trainer, all-time leading trainer by North American Wins. I mean, he used the word jaw-dropping to describe his win in the Amsterdam. I mean, he overcame kind of a 30-minute rain delay, and just was lights out in there. I mean, it was a sloppy track. He's run on a sloppy track before and not particularly that well, but he just ran, you know, lights out in there, absolutely destroyed, drained the clock in there. And I see him getting it done in here again. He's breaking from the inside, so Life Is Good definitely gets a little bit of a tactical edge on him, drawing from the outside with Mike Smith. He's a talented, super talented horse that was on the Derby trail, kind of one of the Derby favorites at one time. Suffered an injury and is coming back, and he's now with Todd Pletcher, and he gets Mike Smith to come in from California. But, yeah, all eyes are on those two. I like following C a little bit, maybe to pick up the pieces, if he can turn back to his race two starts back, which was almost just as good from a figure standpoint as Jackie's Warrior and Life Is Good. So coming back from the Haskell, a tall order, obviously, for him, but Jackie's Warrior is my pick in here.
Dan, let's take a look at race 10, Latruska. Is a five-year-old mare that's getting a lot of love in this race. This post time is scheduled for 4:47, the personal ensign. Do you like Latruska coming in?
I've been trying to beat Latruska with my betting for the past several months. It hasn't worked out for me. What keeps happening is that she keeps going to the lead and not getting any pressure from any other horses. Today, there's a horse immediately to her outside named Miss Marissa, who's got a lot of speed. There's also a horse down to the inside named As Time Goes By, who's run a lot better when up with the pace. And so I think there's at least a chance that today's the day where they finally put some early pressure on Latruska and maybe take enough out of her early so that someone can close late. If someone does close late, my pick, a little bit of an upset play here. One of my favorite plays today actually is the 8-horse Harvey's Lou Goyle. She's one who's caught some really tough races on the turf recently. But going back to last year, you know, she has won 3 graded stakes. She nearly won the Philly and Bear Turf for the Breeders' Cup. And her dirt races are good. Her race at Saratoga last year with the Alabama Stakes, she made a really nice move in that race. Finished third to Swiss Skydiver. Prior to that, on the dirt, going 1 mile and 1/8, which is the same distance of this race. The only time she ever ran that distance was in the Busanda Stakes at Aqueduct, and she won that race, and she won it by 7.5 lengths. Harvey's Little Doyle is trained by Bill Mott, who, as, again, Tom can attest to, is one of the sharpest trainers, not just now, but ever in the history of horse racing. And I think, you know, he's not just making this move going turf to dirt and just hoping to get lucky. He's doing it because he knows that she can win this race. And at 8-1 in the morning line, I want her all day long.
Now, Tom, I know that you like Harvey's Little Goyle as well, right? You've got a big play in this race? Yeah.
I do. I liked her all along when I heard that she was going to run. I was excited because it's one of those things. Dan mentioned it. Bill Mott is one of the sharpest horsemen in the world. He's a great horseman. When he does things that are a little bit out of sort of Bill Mott mode, like this horse is a grade one horse on the grass, he decides, I'm going to run her in the grade one race on the dirt. He has an option to run her in a grade one race next Saturday at Saratoga in the Flower Bowl, but he decides to go in here instead. That tells me he likes her chances in here. She's doing really well. He's very confident. Maybe he feels like maybe some of these other horses are a little bit vulnerable. So that sets him up in here. And she gets Luis Saez, who is just riding unconscious right now. Lights out. He's doing everything right. So that maybe is going to hurt our price a little bit. He's kind of she's kind of becoming a little bit of a wise guy-ish horse. So that's going to kill Dan and I's price a little bit. But I think we're still going to be enjoying the payoff if she gets it done.
And guys, let's finish with race number 11. And Tom, let's go back to you. I know that you like Japan a lot in this race, right?
I do, yeah. I'm going back to his races back in 2019. He won the Judmont International Stakes and the Grand Prix de Paris, which are two of the most prestigious races in Europe. And, you know, when these European horses come over and run on these grass races against our horses, even the ones that are a little bit of a notch below, the Japan of today maybe not be quite the Japan of 2019, maybe some parts of early 2021 or 2020. But I do still think he's better than some of these. Channelmaker maybe a little bit over the top. Moretti's not quite a grass horse. Cross Border ran a really good race last time out. And then you do have Chad Brown's two horses who are very, very good. Trip Louvain and Rock Emperor are the two to beat, I think, along with Gufo. But, I'm going to take a little bit of a stand against Trip Louvain and go with Japan in here.
Agree or disagree, Dan?
I like it. I like it. I mean, me and Tom are always in sync. I mean, you know, like he sees these races. You got to handicap him for pace, right? You got to figure out how the race is going to unfold. Who's going to be, you know, is there a lot of speed or not a lot of speed? To my eyes, there's a lot of speed in this race. Trip Louvain has run really well when he's been able to get loose on the front end. And even when he's taken some pressure, he's been solid. But you've got horses like Channelmaker who needs the front. You've got Moretti who's fast. So I think they're going to soften him up front. The only thing I'd say is that I'd look at two other horses potentially from off the pace. I like Cross Border, a horse who loves Saratoga, 6-7 here at Saratoga on the turf. And then another one who I think is interesting, who always seems to come up just a little short, but who will be closing from off the pace, and that's the two-horse Gufo. So in terms of exact this trifecta, it'll probably be Gufo, the two-horse, Japan, the six-horse, and Cross Border, the seven-horse.
Gentlemen, race number 3 just finished, and it looks like Kitten by the Sea won, but also Place and Show, Love and Thunder, as well as Windfall Profit.
This is the Travers Special Preview Show, presented by America's Best Racing. Now here's Anita Marks.
The big race. That's race 12. Later on today, post time is going to be 6:12 p.m. Not sure what you are going to be doing, but make sure you're by a TV, by your phone, something. Because this is going to be a heck of a race. Tom, since you're a special guest, let's start with you. I've been talking about this race all week long on a number of ESPN programs. To me, I just don't think Essential Quality is such a unique, special, otherworldly horse. I think this is his horse. This is his race to lose, and I don't think there's anybody here who can beat him. So all my money, even though the odds aren't great, what is it, minus 125 to make 100? To me, Essential Quality, that's where my money is rolling. Your thoughts on Essential Quality?
Well, I'm glad to hear you're talking about the race and talking about him. He is a real special horse. He's, you know, obviously last year's two-year-old champion. He's only lost one time. He got beat a length in the Kentucky Derby. It looked like he was going to maybe get beat five lengths in there, but he kept trying. And I think that's the big thing with him. He tries every time, and he sort of gets up to win, by just enough every time and always leaves a little bit more in the tank for his next start. So he didn't get the best trip last time. He was a little wide on both turns and still had enough to get it done in the Jim Dandy over a couple of the horses that are in here. So you know, it's going to take a lot to beat him. Chad Brown said it to me yesterday. He said, look, Central Quality needs to run bad, and our horses all need to run the race of their lives to beat him. He can probably not run his A race and still win. And that's a trainer of another horse in the race, and the trainer that's the leading trainer at the meet so far. So Central Quality is going to be real tough. You know, I'm taking a little bit of a shot with a couple horses underneath that maybe have a chance. Mask Parade, I really liked his workout last week out here. He galloped out like a monster, just like looked amazing around the turn after his gallop out. And Dynamic One, who I think is going to really love the added distance. Never really got a chance at the distance in the Derby. Just kind of ran a total throwout kind of race. But he's a good horse. And, you know, Todd Fletcher is running him in here. He likes him. And Son of Union Rags, I think he's up for getting maybe a piece of it too. So those are a little bit of long shots, you know, taking a stand maybe against Midnight Bourbon and Keep Me in Mind, who might take a little bit of money under Central Quality.
Dan, your thoughts?
Yeah, I think, you know, it's really hard to make a case for Central Quality not winning, other than the one I mentioned at the very top of the show, which is that maybe Midnight Bourbon gets brave on the front end, gets out to the lead, has the rail draw, doesn't get pressured by anybody, and maybe he's able to steal this race. I think the way I'm approaching it, though, is no matter what happens, Central Quality probably still wins this race. So I'm looking at structuring my tickets and my bets around Essential Quality on top with Midnight Bourbon underneath him. And Miles D for me, I think, would be my long shot play that I give a closer look to, because I think if you like Dynamic One, Dynamic One has had a lot more time to develop and mature. So maybe you argue, look, you know, this is his race. This is his day. He's coming up to a really big effort here. Miles D will have to take a big step forward, but I love what I saw in just his third career start. I think he showed just enough to make you feel like even if he's not going to win this race, I think he's going to put in another nice move. He's by a sire or a stallion called Curlin, and Curlin is a horse who produces a lot of winners in big races going this distance specifically, 21% with horses going this mile and a quarter distance. Curlin is also the sire of King Fury, the 7 horse, who I would use way, way, way underneath in my trifecta plays. So I'm structuring tickets that way. I think essentially 2, Essential Quality on top, underneath the 1, Midnight Bourbon, followed by Miles C and King Fury.
I do want to throw out Dynamic One, because this is a horse that a number of people I know personally have put some coin on. Tom, let's start with you. Thoughts on Dynamic One? Do you think this horse has an opportunity to upset Essential Quality today?
I think he does have a chance. I mean, he comes off a race at Saratoga. That's key. So he has experience here. Essential Quality does as well. Both won. You know, they won on back-to-back days. Very similar time, actually. Dynamic One actually ran a little bit faster that day. Track had a little bit of moisture in it, which maybe a little bit of newsflash. I'm here at the track right now. It's raining here at Saratoga. I don't know if it was supposed to rain, but it's kind of raining a little bit. Not that that makes a real big difference. But, yeah, I think Dynamic One, he's got the pedigree for the mile and a quarter for sure. And I like the fact that they just basically said that after the Derby, he had no chance in there. He ran terrible. Let's just stop, regroup, kick him out a little bit, give him a little bit of refreshing, bring him back. I don't think Todd Fletcher had him super trained and wound tight for the Curlin. He won the Curlin like he was supposed to, you know, from off the pace, put away Miles D, who's a good horse on the upswing. Dynamic One with Irad Ortiz, he could be a potential fly in the ointment, although I do think it's going to take quite a bit to get past the Central Quality today.
I like that, fly in the ointment. Dan, let's end with you. Final thoughts. You know, anything pertaining to the Travers and America's Best Racing?
Yeah, so just a couple of quick notes. As Tom mentioned, it is there's a light drizzle now here over Saratoga. You know, but also I think what he alluded to there, that, you know, barring something completely unexpected, I don't think it'll rain enough to significantly impact the track. And so I don't think you need to worry at this moment about any getting too creative. Look, I think Essential Quality, it's going to be interesting to see continue what he's done, and that's, you know, building an incredible campaign for a three-year-old on his way to a championship season, likely on his way to the Breeders' Cup as well. And so, you know, it shapes up to be a really interesting race, a couple of smaller fields, but fields that are competitive. And I think in terms of making money, if Tom and I are both on Harvey's Little Goyal in the personal ensign, that's either a sign that you should back up our money or you should run away. But no, I think that would be my play of the day today. And again, for previews of all of these races, expert analysis, handicapping, go to americasbestracing.net. We've got it all covered.
Tom, really quick, let's sign off on this. We've got 18 minutes to post time for race number four. Is it Viadera, the third horse? Huge favorite here, Chad Brown horse. Is this where we need to throw our coin?
I think so. But at the same time, I do think the one, High Opinion, could be a horse that could offer a little bit of value in here. But Viadera, you know, her last race, just she was favored in there, a very similar race to this. Just had a terrible, troubled trip. She was, you know, blocked, and then she had a steady. So she was really up against it. I think she's the best of the three Chad Brown horses that are in here. So, you know, look for her to get it done. California Queen underneath with High Opinion in Boston Spa. First of seven graded stakes on the card.
Fantastic. Gentlemen, thank you so much. Appreciate your time. Thank you, ABR, as well. Great analysis, not just for the Travers, but, of course, starting at race seven, we've got six grade one races. It's such a treat right here in our own backyard at Saratoga. Tom Law, thank you so much. Again, managing editor at the Saratoga Special. Dan Torgman, huge part of America's Best Racing. Gentlemen, I wish I could be you today. This is a bucket list thing for me. I promise you, next season, we're going to be doing the show live at Saratoga. We're going to find a location. We're going to find a spot. We're going to be doing the show live from Saratoga next year for the Travers. I promise you that.
Awesome.
Let's make it happen, Anita.
We'll take care of you.